And welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am fresh off a trip to Disneyland to celebrate my friend Heather's 50th birthday. It was wonderful. She got 20 people together. We all went to Goofy's Kitchen. Sidebar, they're all wearing Halloween costumes at Goofy's Kitchen. It's great. I love Goofy's Kitchen. Even though, like, there's so many reasons not to love Goofy's Kitchen, primarily the lighting. It is the dimmest restaurant I've probably ever been to on Disney property. And yet, it just kind of adds to the charm because you know it hasn't been touched by the hand of modern Disneyland, if you know what I mean. That place is as retro as it gets at that hotel, and I love it. I love it because you know one of these days they're going to redo those interiors because the ceilings are very low. And again, you can barely see anything. It is very dimly lit. But I love it. I love that it just retains that like 90s Disney feel, early 2000s Disney feel. I love it. I love it. We went there. We saw the characters. We went to the parks. Did a bunch of stuff I don't usually get to do on a trip when I'm with Pearl. Got to go on a credit coaster. I was like a little scared to go upside down. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've gone upside down, but it was wonderful. We had the best time. We also had a double stroke of luck with ride issues. One, we got stopped on Radiator Springs Racers in this scene where you're in Radiator Springs and the lights went on. It was truly magical. Like as we were kind of traipsing in, I was like, wow, that is, if I had to get stuck anywhere, that would be the scene. And it happened. And it was really cool. We took cool photos. The lights were up. It was awesome. And they restarted the ride, so we were able to do the rest of the ride. It was just like a little timeout, which was nice. And then later, we went to go on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and we were the next group to board, and the ride fully shut down. Like, as we exited, we saw people, like, almost in the exit area and just stuck in their vehicles. And we just barely missed it. We were like, oh, never mind. Guess we'll go on with our day, and left. So it was a stroke of luck, I would say. We got really, really lucky on Heather's birthday. It's been a great weekend. I went to my friend Kirby's Halloween party. She calls it Kerboween. She is the co-host of a fantastic podcast called Gloss Angeles. If you're at all interested in beauty or the beauty industry, celebrity-driven lines, any sort of like product-based stuff, she is an absolute genius when it comes to beauty. And she takes Halloween more seriously than anyone I've ever met in my whole life. She dressed up as Mudang. Mudang! She dressed up as Mudang. She had a full Mudang face on, and the whole night I was like, are you getting enough oxygen? I was so concerned. She looked incredible. It was a wonderful party. It was a good weekend. It was a good time at Disneyland, and I am recording this a few days before it goes out, but I will be back at Disneyland, hopefully, to make it on the annual pass holder preview for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. I'm hoping I get a virtual queue spot. I'm hoping it happens. Only time will tell, but otherwise it's been a lot of Disney stuff, which is why I'm so excited this week to talk about, yeah, you guessed it, more Disney stuff, toddler cruise stuff. I took so many notes from this cruise that honestly outlining this episode was mania. There's so much stuff where I was like, I can't even, there's just too many notes. And it was just like scrolling, outline, went on endlessly. So I am a little paranoid that I left out something essential, but I think I got it all in there. And this is the type of advice that I wish somebody had called me up and been like, girl, this is what you gotta know before you go on a cruise with a toddler. And now I'm just so pleased I get to share it all with you. So stick around. We have a great episode. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. I hope you enjoy this new look at Disney Cruise Line and basically me telling you for the entirety of our episode that you should bring your kids on a trip. I love Disney Cruise Line. All right, more on that soon. Bye! Big news, party people. I am officially launching a long-term partnership with MEI Travel and its specialty division, Mouse Fan Travel. I'm obsessed with making sure you have the best theme park vacation possible, and so are they. Mouse Fan Travel, a division of MEI Travel, specializes in all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, all of it. And MEI Travel can help curate vacations with all major cruise lines and vacation destinations around the globe. Mouse Fan Travel is a no-fee Disney earmarked agency, which means they will handle booking your entire trip, no matter where you go, no matter what you want to do. They will help you plan it absolutely for free. For free! There really is no disadvantage to working with these expert vacation planners. Did you know they have a hotline where if something goes wrong and you're traveling, you'll have someone to call? Or that if you book a Disneyland or Disney World vacation and your room drops in price, they will get you money back? Travel agents are amazing! Disney World just announced some incredible promotions for 2025. You can save up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on select nights through April. Which means it's the perfect time to reach out to MouseFan Travel for a free quote on your future trip. If you want to take advantage of having a new vacation booking bestie, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing. Welcome back to my guide to Disney Cruise Line with a baby or a toddler. Now, my goal is that at the end of this episode, you will be more informed about cruising with your kids and be fully prepared to do so if you so choose. And unfortunately, after listening to this, you will probably end up booking a sailing with Disney Cruise Line because I'm obsessed with it. And you know, if I'm going to be on the mic for this whole episode yapping about it, you might end up obsessed with it by the end too. But anyway, I just mentioned that not to be like, I'm about to tell you about cruises. Like, no, like I am literally in the boat, figurative boat, right alongside you. I came home from my Disney Magic sailing in September with Pearl and my mom and was like, that was wonderful. I need to do it again immediately. So I myself am currently in the process of booking another Disney Cruise Line sailing. This one is like, and this isn't a work one. This is out of pocket. This is like me, myself, ringing up Mouse Fan Travel, having them book it for me, full vacation vibes. I mean, I'll probably like do some work stuff and like podcast about it, but this is not a work cruise. This is like me just needing to guarantee that I will be on a Disney cruise ship with my daughter again in the next few months because it was such a special experience at this age and I loved it so much. But the thing is, it's really shocking how very few guides there are out there like this. Like very, very few guides telling you how to do this with a young kid. So I'm thrilled and very grateful to September Me for taking such meticulous notes on mine because I'm going to give you all the information you need for a perfect family trip. And not just that, I'm also going to tell you the essentials you have to pack because you will wish you did for some of them before you got on board. But let's start at the beginning. What's even the point of bringing a tiny human on a cruise? Who would do this? Why would you bring a toddler or a baby on Disney Cruise Line? And I stress this because these are questions you will get from more people than you would anticipate. Many people ask me this, and keep in mind, this is my job. Many people were like, you're really bringing your baby on a Disney cruise? Oh boy, hope that goes well. But really, here are some of the reasons why I actually think it's the perfect way to travel with a little kid. The layout of a Disney cruise ship is ideal for a family with young kids. First of all, single location. They can't go anywhere. There's no need to get in a car, no need to schlep things around all day. Everything is there. Then there's the ship's actual construction. It's all long carpeted walkways and stairs. It's all crawlable. It's clean and it's really a lovely surrounding to be in. When you go anywhere with a young kid, you're going to be moving slow. You're going to be taking your time. So why not take your time in a great environment like this? Also, your stateroom, essentially like your hotel room compared to other trips, is right there. The majesty of all Disney has to offer is literally steps from your room. And you can go back to your home base at any time. Morning, evening, daytime, does not matter. Your kid gets a little overwhelmed, zoop, you're back in the room. Uh-oh, it's tantrum time, boom, you're back at the room. But most importantly, nap time. Nap time can happen in your room every single day if you want it to. Or even at the nursery, where you don't even have to be there for nap time, which we will get into later. But wherever you are on the ship, this format of travel is really so strangely easy just for the mechanics of a regular day with a baby or a toddler. Now, as we've talked before, visiting a theme park with a young kid is challenging. I do it all the time, and I love having her there, but it is not easy. And it is pretty draining. When you do a Disney Cruise Line sailing, you don't have to wait for a bus, take a drive, go through security, scan your tickets, and enter a theme park and wait in a possibly long line to meet a character and start your day. Nah, dude, here, you just go downstairs. It's no stress! It's no stress! Meet and greets are so easy. The schedule's in the app, you show up when works for you, bing, bing, boom, you are done. The longest line I waited in for a character was about 25 minutes for the Sanderson sisters. And that's because it was the main attraction of our Halloween sailing, and it was their last meet of the sailing. Everyone else was like 10 minutes max. And my move is that I get there about 10 minutes early, and then you don't really have to wait much. You just hang out, the character shows up, you get your pictures, and you're on your way. Disney Cruise Line also really gives you that Disney high. You know, like those, I always say, like, you pack 3 days of memories into one day when you're on vacation with Disney. That happens here too. You get a lot of that same park parallel, but without so much of the struggle. Remember, a cruise is temperature controlled indoors, and you're indoors for a lot of it. You don't need to schlep your stuff all day. Meals are already arranged. No booking, no lightning lanes, nowhere near as much planning for a Disney vacation as it is a true Disney vacation. I talk about that more in the other episode we did about my sailing, but this is a vacation. And basically, if your kids like Aulani, or if you're kind of inclined to take a pool day on your Disney parks trip, this is essentially that for days. Because at the end of the day, it's Disney, but with ease. Mickey Mouse appears at mealtime, music playing in the elevators and hallways are songs you know and love. It's the majesty of Disney paired with a true relaxing vacation. But it is not infallible. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it's all perfect and it's all going to be great because you're traveling with a small kid and it's always a little hard. There are some real concerns that I have and problems I wish I knew about prior to boarding. But thankfully, you will know about them just by listening to this podcast. Now, Disney Cruise Line prides itself on its live entertainment, and you might not end up seeing a lot of it. Theater stage shows can be tricky based on timing alone, but if you have a younger kid who can't sit still for that long or might be scared by darkness or noise, it can be a little complicated. A lot of the entertainment highlights, like Pirate Night, there's a stage show, there's fireworks, that will likely be after your kid's regular bedtime. We kept Pearl on West Coast time, we always do when we travel, so her bedtime is around 10 p.m., but I even had to push that to catch fireworks on our sailing. If your kid is going down probably around 7, around like a more traditional bedtime hour, your night is going to be cut short, which can be a bummer. And feeding can be a double-edged sword for kids at this age. There are so many options on your Disney Cruise Line ship, but the rigidity of mealtime and limited offerings for toddlers in that middle stage where they can eat real food but aren't scarfing down full chicken tenders can be challenging outside of dinner time. Finding some of Pearl's favorite foods on board ended up being a lot harder than I planned on, specifically during the day, after lunch and before dinner. And of course, there is the top complaint I have heard from people when I posted about my cruise. The pools. Kids cannot go in the swimming pools or on the water slides on Disney Cruise Line unless they are potty trained. For us, this really wasn't an issue. We were on a 3-night sailing on the Disney Magic, and we really only had one opportunity to even go in the splash pad, which is what they offer for kids who are in swim diapers. For a longer cruise or one where you have multiple at-sea days, that can be more complicated. But despite the hangups, which we will cover in this episode, I would absolutely do it again in a heartbeat. And like I said, I'm already planning to. I cannot wait. Oh, I cannot wait to get back. So if you're interested in possibly doing this, let me tell you all about the different ships through a parent's perspective and just kind of give you the lay of the land. Now, Disney Cruise Line, as we have mentioned on earlier episodes, has 3 different styles of ship. The Disney Magic, which I recently sailed on, and the Disney Wonder are smaller and older. The Disney Dream and Disney Fantasy are bigger, they offer a little more, and for so long, they were known as the big ships. That is, until the Disney Wish came along. Now, the Disney Wish, the Disney Treasure, and the Disney Destiny, which are names that we've thrown out a lot on Very Amusing in the past year, those are all Wish-class ships. They are newer, they are significantly fresher, and they are also laid out very, very different from the other 4 ships. If you're trying to just kind of preliminary decide between what works best for you, keep in mind, smaller ships are smaller. They will be a lot easier to navigate with a little kid. On our Disney Magic sailing, we never even had to do a diaper change outside of the room because we just walked back and it was very easy to get around. But bigger ships, they do kind of have more going on, more to explore, more places to walk around, and more to see and do, in my opinion. They are newer, they are more technologically advanced, and some have really special themed spaces and kind of make the older ones look a little older. But the older ones are also great. They are beloved by Disney fans. So no matter which way you go, you're going to have a solid Disney Cruise Line experience. Because there are multiple kinds of staterooms on board each type of ship, but all of them are fantastic for traveling with a little kid. First of all, Disney Cruise Line has split bathrooms. That means one of the bathrooms will have a toilet and a sink and a mirror, and another one will have a shower and a sink and a mirror and a bathtub. Yes, they have showers with little bathtubs that you can very easily bathe your kid in. As someone who just stayed at the Disney's Grand Californian and walked in my room and was like, oh yeah, y'all put in business traveler showers in here. It is so refreshing that no matter what type of room you book on Disney Cruise Line, you are going to be able to bathe your kid, no problem. And even better, there's a line that pulls out in the closet to dry all your beach stuff, all your swim stuff. It's really convenient. Honestly, they don't even feel that small. I really like it. Oh, I love Disney Cruise Line. Second of all, couches in your room conveniently turn into beds, and certain types of rooms have pull-down beds that turn it into kind of a makeshift bunk bed, offering plenty of space if you also have kids that are older than toddlers or kids of multiple ages. And side note, if you are worried about booking a room with a balcony if you have a young kid, there are enough lock mechanisms on there that you should probably be fine. We went with Pearl in one, I felt totally comfortable, and I usually freak out about all that type of stuff, and I myself could barely get the door open when I had to, so no need to worry. But there is one incredible perk that I didn't think about in these rooms that make traveling with a young kid so easy. It is the curtain. There is this curtain that separates the main part of the room from where you would have your kids sleep. It's like I think it's a queen bed, like whatever bed is in your room, you close the curtain and they are on the other side. And we, going into this, didn't really think that the curtain would keep light out, that it would keep Pearl asleep. We planned on walking around her room tiptoeing, whispering, being quiet. And I gotta tell you, by the last night, we were packing, we were doing stuff, we were totally fine. I checked every ship and every class of standard staterooms, interior, exterior, balcony, all of them. And they all have this dividing curtain. It'll make your life so easy. It is so great for nap time. It is wonderful. Now, Disney Cruise Line, one of the main things they offer is rotational dining. You will have a different restaurant each night and you will travel throughout them over the course of your trip with your waiter and your serving staff following you along the way. Some have character surprises, some have live entertainment, and some are just like a cute little swanky, nice little night out. They are all kid-friendly, there are high chairs, and the staff will cater to you having a small kid. If you have to eat quickly, if you need their food the second you arrive because it's their mealtime, they will make sure throughout the trip that you are taken care of. Now, on sailings out of the US, there are two different seating times for restaurants. You can go at 5:45 p.m. or you can do second seating at 8 p.m. If you're sailing in a European cruise, the timing is a little different, but it's essentially 5:45 and 8. That works for some people. It doesn't work for others. We did 8 p.m. because Pearl's bedtime was later. But typically, if you are traveling, you're probably going to end up doing 5:45 unless you're West Coast like we are. And if you don't think your kid is going to do well at that time, or you don't think they're going to do well in this at the end of a busy day at a big meal, room service is always an option. You can get favorites delivered to your room. There are limited options, but room service is available to you, no problem, and it's included. I also broke some ship rules and brought food to my room to make sure we had stuff in the fridge, but we'll get into that later. Now, if you are traveling with a baby and you are worried about feeding them, there is a huge perk to staying with Disney and doing Disney Cruise Line, because if you are with an infant who is not yet eating solids, they can puree food for you. They can puree food for you in the dining room. They can puree it through room service upon request. They will make sure your baby has fresh pureed food. The first time I heard this, I was like, if you told me this earlier, I probably would have moved on to a Disney Cruise Line ship when Pearl was 6 months. I can't believe they will freshly puree fresh food for you. It's incredible, right? It's a true game changer. And if you've ever traveled with a kid who eats purees, you know how big of a deal that is. Now, all the Disney Cruise Line ships have a nursery. It's called It's a Small World Nursery, and it is for guests 6 months to 3 years old. And generally, the bigger the ship, the cuter the nursery is. Look up a video of the nursery on the Disney Wish. Oh my God, it is stunning. The artwork is gorgeous. There's like a train that goes around. The artwork like kind of comes alive. It has Disney characters in it. I can't wait to see if it's the same or a little different on the Treasure and Destiny. I assume it's probably the same. It is beautiful. And while kids are there, they will play. They will do activities with the counselors who are in charge of the nursery. They can also nap there. There are provided cribs, and they can eat snacks and meals in there as well. But while the other kid clubs on the ship, the one you've probably heard about, like Oceaneers, like the kids going and playing games all day, like having adventures and vibe, the teen club, stuff like that, those are all included with your Disney Cruise Line payment. That is free. But the nursery costs money. It's not too bad, though. For us, it was $9 an hour charged by the half hour. And on sailings from 2 to 5 nights, you can book 10 hours of babysitting in advance. If you were on a cruise longer than 5 nights, you can book more. But 10 hours is kind of the figure you should plan on working with for booking in advance. You can also add more hours once you get on the ship, but it's limited and it's just based on availability. When you are dropping your kid off at the nursery, you'll need to supply your own diapers, your own wipes, but they can take any bottles, they can take any sort of sleep sack that your kid might need for napping there, and they can also take factory sealed snacks if you want to give them something different than what's offered. I did bring Pearl to the It's a Small World nursery, which was her first time really being in a situation like that. I showed up talking to the person who was in charge, being like, I don't think this is going to go very well. We're just going to try it. It's probably not going to go. And they were like, don't have that attitude. We'll see how it goes. And Pearl instantly walked in and was totally fine. Absolutely shocking. She had a great time. She loved it. My mother, who I know is listening to this, Mom, I will be kind to you in the scenario, I promise. My mom didn't have as good of a time with it because they have a window that you can look in and the kids can't see you. And my mom stood there the entire time. If you saw on social media that I went to Paulo with Shay Spence, a friend of mine, and a few other people, I want you to know that was not the plan. That was not the plan. Pearl was supposed to be at the nursery. My mom was supposed to come with me, and my mom couldn't handle it. She had to watch Pearl the whole time, which I love. True grandma energy. If you listen to this show, you know that's my mom. That's like as Audrey as it gets. But I think after maybe 45 minutes or an hour, my mom basically, I'm not going to get into it. Pearl cried. There's a diaper change situation. My mom yanked her out and she left. But all things said and done, Pearl did pretty well in there. I do want to flag two things. One, in my experience bringing my kid there, it seemed like there were activities, there were things happening, but a lot of what they were doing was watching a very, very, very big TV. I didn't really remember that as part of the nursery when I've gone on tours before, but a lot of it, I think, was watching TV. And if you have a younger kid, if you're doing no screens, I think that's worth flagging. Again, you're on vacation. Things are a little different on vacation. There's literally funnel vision TV on the upper deck. Like you can't get around screens on vacation, especially at a theme park or somewhere like here, but worth flagging in case you are thinking about it. The other thing I want to mention is that we originally planned on her napping here. But on the Magic, and I assume also on the Wonder, I've looked at tours of the other crib areas on other ships, and it seems like it's more separated. It might be a little dimmer. On this ship, the cribs where you'd hypothetically be napping were very close to the activity area. And personally, I had a day where she was supposed to take a nap in there. I ended up not bringing her for that because I felt like if she blew that nap on our trip, it might mess up the rest of the day. And I didn't really want to risk it. So my mom stayed in the room while she napped in the room. But if you are planning to do any sort of adult activity or just want some time to yourself on the ship, booking the nursery during their nap time is a really great way to do that. It depends on if your kid is down with it. Pearl, we don't want to risk it. We didn't want her to not nap and stay up the whole day and then navigate that in our last night on the sailing. So just keep that in mind. But otherwise, it went great. And it's a fantastic resource, especially if you want to have a meal at Paulo or Enchanté or Remy on one of the ships, the adult-only restaurants. It is a really, really great way to do that. Now, if on the sailing, your kid needs to get out some wiggles, it's weirdly not that easy. I mean, they'll be running around the ship. They'll be climbing in the porthole windows and stuff. And oh, that probably sounds terrifying. It's basically like a bay window. There's a porthole and then there's like a cushioned seat on the inside that you can sit and look out. They love to climb on those. But while they'll be running around and doing whatever and kind of getting energy out, there aren't really playgrounds or anything like that. And remember, again, the standard pools are only open to kids who are potty trained. There are water splash zones on all of the ships, but the best play area is actually going to be the big kid activity clubs. These are typically in use and closed to people who aren't that age range of child, but they have open houses both when you board the ship and throughout your sailing. Be sure to plan ahead, check the schedule, and look for when they have these open house times, which is when you are allowed to bring your kid in and they can just run around and enjoy everything. There are interactive activities. There are things to crawl on and climb. There are slides like the Toy Story Slinky Dog slide that I posted about, which is very fun for adults to go down to. Just gonna say. But the best play area Disney Cruise Line has to offer is on the Wish Class ships. Mickey and Minnie's Captain's Deck on the Wish is this ideal low-to-the-ground play area with little slides and tubes to crawl through. And again, this seems like it should be for babies and young toddlers, but it is somehow just for the three and ups. I don't really know why. It seems like someone checked something on a form incorrectly, and now this is just annexed to the 3 to 10-year-olds. But this is available to you during open house hours, and I absolutely recommend if you are on a Wish class ship to bring your child here. It is perfectly set up for them. But really, that's on top of everything else that is happening on the cruise. There are character meets, there is fun dining, live entertainment, deck parties, movies, live music, and so much more. There's so much to do with your kids on these sailings, and I really don't think you're going to run out of stuff to do. Now, typical Disney Cruise Line sailings are anywhere from 3 to 7 nights, and I don't think we could have done more than 4 with her. My sailing was 3, we could have done one more, but I think I probably would have reached my max. If I had multiple kids or my youngest was older than 2, it might be different. But because they can't swim in regular pools, a longer cruise, which might have more at-sea days, would be tricky. We technically didn't have any at-sea days. That's a day where you're at sea the whole day and you don't go to a port. But we didn't get off the ship at Nassau, so we kind of had one full day on the ship. Anything more than that, I think it might have been a little too repetitive. I might have gotten a little bored, but a 3-nighter was perfect for us, and a 4-nighter would probably also be great for anyone at this age. Disney sails out of so many different places, Florida, Texas, California, a few other locations, internationally and domestically. Look into it. They got ships all around. But Disney also operates 2 islands, Castaway Key and Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, each of which have really incredible youth activity spaces, but are only for kids 3 and up. There are still splash zones available to all ages on both islands, which your babies and toddlers can go to. And there are the family beaches, which are beautiful. Again, the beach at Lookout Key, impeccable. It's so nice. But if you're looking for some sort of level of programming or like kids club experience, that is going to be reserved for kids over 3. Those are the basics you gotta know. That's the stuff you kinda gotta keep in mind when you're deciding if this is right for your family. But there is so much other advice that honestly, nobody's gonna tell you but me because I am very passionate about this. I'm giving you my full hit list of need-to-know tips, packing musts, and advice I wish I knew before bringing Pearl on Disney Cruise Line. And all of that is coming up after this break. It's officially fall, at least according to all the memes I've seen online, which means 3 things. 1, it's time for my first and only pumpkin spice latte of the season. I get one every year, and then I am good. 2, my Disney sweatshirts are officially coming out of storage. And 3, it's time to invest in the transitional autumn pieces you need with Quince. If you're dragging your little Chelsea boot heels because you want a few new fall staples, but you don't want to blow your whole budget on them, buckle up, because fall is Quince's time. Quince is known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50. Yummy little layers in quiet luxury colors at prices you won't believe. They have this organic cotton fisherman boxy cropped cardigan, which is speaking to me. I had to pause this. I was working on this and had to pause it so I could ogle it in different colors. Sorry, enough about this dream cardigan I'm absolutely buying. And back to the point. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And they have premium fabrics and finishes for that luxury feel in every piece. I can't possibly yap at you anymore about my Quince bike shorts that, by the way, I am still obsessed with. I wear them until they go in the laundry, and then the second they're out of the laundry, they are on my body. Again, obsessed. I love them. And while I'm going full Princess Di off duty this fall with like those and a big old sweatshirt, I do need some ladylike things in my wardrobe that I don't own. And I'm gonna go full hog on a shopping cart full of staples at Quince. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for what I get. That's all I'm saying. I could shop for these items anywhere, but the quality and price at Quince cannot be beat. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. If you like, want to try out that sweater, I imagine it'd be sweater twins. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. Spark something uncommon this holiday with the perfect gift from Uncommon Goods. It's officially the holiday season, and my gift to you is no more buying stuff nobody really wants. Oh, gloves for dad, socks for your sister, a sad necklace for your mom. No! It is 2024, we have the power of the internet at our fingertips, and you need to use those fingers to stop scrolling and type in one URL, uncommongoods.com. Because here, shopping for your loved ones is also fun for you. I just browsed around the Uncommon Goods website looking for a gift for Pearl and found this adorably cheeky animal matching memory card game, which, by the way, I've never seen anywhere else. Every other store stocks the same kid stuff, but not this one. And while I was, you know, bopping around being a good mom looking for Pearl things, I came across a homemade pretzel and beer cheese kit. A perfect gift from me to me this holiday season. And that's what they're all about. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids, that's what I experienced, and hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Their products are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere, and I recommend them as your first and honestly, probably last stop this shopping season. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/amusing. That's uncommongoods.com/amusing for 15% off! That's 15% off beer cheese and toys and gifties and so many things! Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Oh my god, I love that tagline. They're just like us!
If you listen to this podcast, you know I have an arch nemesis, and that is my allergies. I've apologized in so many episodes over how noticeably I am suffering, which is why I am beyond excited to tell you there is a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding a loved one's house because they have a cat, and not just because that is a real problem in my family. Thanks to Curex, America's largest online allergy clinic, you're able to begin your journey towards becoming allergy-free with custom medication that is shipped right to your door. My life is crushed on a daily basis by allergies. I'm out here at theme parks crying through my makeup, wiping away tears and snot constantly because my body can't handle the elements, or pollen, or dust, or most makeup, just purely existing in the outdoors. Or indoors, it's a real double whammy. The amount of products we have bought in our house to help with my dust allergies is innumerable, which is why I am blown away by Curex. Because allergies aren't just something you're forced to live with. They can be treated effectively and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you can start feeling real relief. These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science. And from what I'm told, in Europe, allergy drops are the go-to treatment for allergies. And if you've ever watched a French pharmacy skincare haul, you know Europeans know what's up. You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic, and the New York Times says they are changing the landscape of allergies. So if you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month, and if you sign up now, you can save 80% off the $49 sign-up fee. And I'm bad at math, so in case you are also, that means for my calculator and my computer, you'll be spending under 10 bucks. Go to getcurex.com today for this limited time offer. That's getcurex, GetCurex.com. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex.
You know that awful 6 p.m. feeling when you open the fridge and you're like, oh no, I don't have anything to eat. Well, I don't have that anymore because I've got me some HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. They've not only got easy autumn-inspired recipes, but tons of options for whatever you are craving. You can choose from a changing menu of over 50 recipes a week. That is so many recipes. And you can take your pick from over 100 market add-on items like desserts, breakfast, and snacks. From hearty dinners to game day treats that'll far outshine that sad jar of salsa, HelloFresh has a variety of recipes and flavors to perfectly accompany any fall celebration you've got cooking. Get it? A cooking pun. I love HelloFresh because it's easy, it's healthy, it's convenient, and on top of that, it helps me avoid the absolutely cursed parking lot at the grocery store near my house. I won't name them by name, but it is cursed. Cursed. The fact that I can get the same veggies, grains, herbs, and proteins pre-portioned with recipes ready to go without having to leave my house for even one single second is a small miracle. And to eat homemade food that is not delivery, where I know what goes inside of it, and I can basically pretend I'm my own personal chef without doing any of the hard work thanks to HelloFresh, that makes me a fan for life. You can get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/freeamusing. Applied to 7 boxes, new subscribers only, varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/freeamusing. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Welcome back. Now, this section of the podcast, this is where I feel like I'm about to thrive because this is everything that I wish a friend of mine who had done this before me called me up on the phone and was like, hey, girl, you need to know these 42 things before you go on your cruise. And now I get to do that for you. There's nothing to be scared of with traveling on Disney Cruise Line with a young kid, but especially if you know this stuff, it's just going to make your trip that much easier. Because really, bringing a toddler anywhere, even room to room in your house, can be stressful. So I'm just here to help you along the way. Now, these are things I want to make sure you keep in mind if you are going to go on a sailing. Make sure you sign up for things in advance. The nursery, any excursions, but also, nobody talks about this, royal gathering. Royal gathering is this like mysterious thing that happens on Disney Cruise Line where you can do a meet and greet with multiple princesses. It is ticketed, but it is free, and you can book it 30 days out of your sailing. Basically, you'll show up and you'll be like, oh, it's my royal gathering time, and there'll be 4 princesses in a row waiting to meet you in the ship atrium. It is awesome, but I cannot imagine explaining to a child who sees princesses in the atrium that they can't go over there and meet them. So be sure to sign up for this 30 days in advance at midnight before your sailing. They also have these advanced signups for other specific characters on other sailings. I think I've seen Anna and Elsa, and then like, I almost said Muppets Day at Sea because I'm looking at the artwork in my office. Muppets Day at Sea would be thrilling. Marvel Day at Sea, I think they have it for certain characters like Black Panther. Just check your kind of book manage cruise activity section of your account and make sure you are on this. Because again, meeting 4 princesses in a row on the ship, they usually don't do meet and greets like that other times. So make sure you get in on royal gathering. Also, if you are traveling with a baby, do not miss the diaper dash. It is a baby race. I have somehow always missed it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm so upset. I fully forgot on the Disney Magic recently, but I hear it is incredible fun, like a true highlight for everyone involved or not. And you really can't miss this. And also, if you have a young enough baby and they can crawl, You gotta take part. You gotta take part. You might win. Ah, to win the diaper dash. Oh, I wish. But if you're traveling with a toddler, I'm about to sound, the next 2 minutes are going to sound absolutely unhinged, but stick with me. If you're traveling with a toddler, you need to know how hard it was to get berries. It was like the year 2040 and our currency was now blueberries and I had to do everything I could in my motherly power to get them for my baby. I mean, we had to like plot and plan just to get our hands on the tiniest cup of fruit. My failing before the cruise was I thought, oh, we're going to be great. We're going to go to buffet breakfast every day. They got sliced fruit. They got endless blueberries. My kid's going to be thriving. She's basically going to be like on vacation herself, eating her favorite food nonstop at a buffet. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. If you're hearing this and you're like, wait, my kid can't go 4 days without a blueberry. Here is what you're going to do. Listen to me. I know the secrets. I know how to pull this off. At your first dinner, you're gonna talk to your waiter about getting berries. There is a special procedure to get them. They have to like put them in, put like a request in. He said he had to go to a store. I don't know what was happening. I don't know if there's like a secret berry store on the ship. I don't know what happened, but tell your waiter ASAP you need your hands on berries every night. If this isn't an issue for you and your kid will eat anything, must be nice. So, did you buy a boat with the money you saved not buying berries? Anyway, so do that at dinner and then you'll be guaranteed to have berries for the rest of the ship. Our incredible waiter who was so great. I've only heard literally like 12 out of 10 exceptional reviews for everyone's waiters. Obviously, you think your own is the favorite. I loved him so much. He got us berries and got us extra to bring back to our room. Oh, clutch. But if you plan on going to Cabanas or something like Marceline's on a Wish class ship, basically the cruise ship buffet. If you plan on going there in the morning, identify a staff member. Tell them that you need berries for your kid and they will hook you up. I'm not kidding. It was like trying to get a controlled substance on board at sea, but it worked. Those two dudes hooked us up with berries. And we tipped everyone heavily at the end to thank them for finding us berries, but we really should have been smart about it and just tipped them from the start. I am not smooth. I don't know how to be like, here's some money. Like I have to make a whole like, I'm throwing it at you. Like I can't, you know, people who like, casually tip at a Vegas hotel. I can't do that. But these two wonderful men helped us out so much. We didn't realize how much we needed berries until we were there and we're like, they're not here. So whatever you do, just follow my lead and you will be fine. If that doesn't affect you, again, very jealous. Another thing that I'm going to energetically prepare you for is that if you are going on a Disney Cruise Line sailing, you just need to know in advance, it is not a big deal, but you just need to know in advance, your embarkation day nap is gonna be messed up. There will be a few hours between when you board your ship and when you get into your room. So you're likely going to be napping on the fly. I believe we got into our room at 1:30 p.m., but our issue was that we would have been fine, but we checked our pack and play through. We brought our own pack and play. We will get into pack and plays in a minute. We brought our own and we knew it probably wouldn't arrive by her nap time. And we rolled the dice. It didn't. It arrived after 3 o'clock. Pearl slept in the big bed. My mom watched her the whole time. But just keep in mind, that can happen. Again, if you're not in your room till around 1:30, you're probably gonna have a nap in a stroller or kind of wherever you can find. But the other thing I'll flag that nobody told me about is that if you're like, I think we can push the nap until we're in the room, I think we'll time it perfectly. The announcements in your cabin are so loud. They're so loud. On the first day, all of the drill announcements are so loud that it might end up waking them up anyway. So just keep that in mind, because a lot of times I view trips as like, okay, we have travel day and then we're good. And kind of where your baby toddler is concerned, it's kind of like two travel days back to back for them, even if it isn't for you. When it comes to packing, this is the time for packing cubes, because you are forced to unpack your whole suitcase and you put your suitcase under the bed. And I put everything in packing cubes in advance, but this time I organize them very specifically for my stuff, for Pearl Beach stuff. And this way I was able to access everything so easily, unpack so quickly, and not really waste any time on that precious first day. Because again, we were on a pretty short sailing. We set up the room where Pearl's half had all of her stuff in the drawers, on the counter. I had the dresser. I put all my stuff in there, easy peasy. And then my mom had the closet and a secondary set of drawers. And I mention this because we had two adults that overpack, so technically 3.5 adults, stuff-wise. And we had a baby and all her baby gear, and you know I'd be overpacking baby gear. And we had spare drawers. There is so much room in your room. So I was pleasantly surprised by it. So just keep that in mind that you don't have to worry like, oh, where are we gonna put everything? You're gonna have plenty, plenty, plenty of room. Also, bring feeding stuff. Disney Cruise Line will take care of nearly everything on your trip. But mealtime is like kind of a void when it comes to keeping your kids' regular processes normal. The kids' water cups that they gave us on the ship came with a paper straw, which I didn't think about. Of course, we're at sea. Of course, it's a paper straw. But Pearl had never used one before and refused to drink out of it. So no matter what you do, bring a bottle that you know they'll use and can use the entirety of the trip. Your kid's meal will be served on like a kid's plate shaped like Mickey Mouse, which is cute. But again, she's not used to eating out of a plate like that. And kid utensils? They have them, but they're not for toddlers. So bring toddler utensils. And if you want to, if you think the Mickey Mouse plate won't work for you, bring some dishware. Again, I just to emphasize how strongly I feel about toddler utensils, I emailed myself 3 manic emails that just said, toddler utensils! Just subject line, toddler utensils! Just to remind me for this moment to tell you, dear listener, that you should bring some toddler utensils. Otherwise, I mean, good luck. If they don't want to eat with their hands, it's not going to go great. Speaking of, bring a stroller tray for snacks. Bring a snack holder for snacks. Bring a snack tray that they are used to eating in. We live and die not really by our plateware in our house, not like by our bowls and plates, but by her Gobi spinner. This thing, oh my God, this thing. I could kiss the inventor of this on the mouth. It's basically a rotating snack tray. You push a button and it goes bloop, 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 bloop. And she eats meals out of there. She eats snacks out of there. Whenever we're traveling, she uses it. And by using the food that we were served at the restaurant and putting it in there instead of on the plate, she was much more receptive to stuff she doesn't typically eat. Honestly, I think that's part of the reason why she did so well at all of the restaurants. And then at the end of the meal, we used that container to save food from dinner, like steamed broccoli and salmon and stuff that's kind of harder to find on the fly on the ship, and put that in our room fridge, pre-packed and ready to go for whenever she needed it at a future snack time. Having something like that was clutch. And while we're at it, bring snacks. Bring snacks for your toddler. Bring snacks. And I know you might be thinking, we're going on a cruise. We got buffets. We got food every night. We got soft serve on demand 24/7. Why would I need to bring any food? We're going to have food everywhere, constantly, all the time. And that is true. But even me who overpacks everything, who overpacked snacks, did not bring enough snacks. And you know I rolled pretty deep. I brought a hiking backpack as my carry-on. I was schlepping everything this girl needed, but it was not enough. And here's why. Basically, she eats so often outside of mealtime and just needed a little bit more food. And there wasn't a lot of that for her that was available outside of dinner time. I mean, my girl, I tried to feed her a poolside gyro and it didn't go great. So having puffs, having little treats like that really, really helped with her mood and helped just to make sure that she was happy the whole time and well-fed and wasn't too hungry before our meal. That said, the official language about packing snacks is so strange. It's honestly a little maddening. What they say is prepackaged, unopened baby food that does not require any preparation from the kitchen can be only be brought in your carry-on. And snacks have to be in their factory-sealed manufacturing packaging. Now, for the most part, I'm pretty sure that's general cruise travel lingo because you are traveling internationally. There's a lot of legal stuff, things like that. But manufactured toddler treats is not as much of a threat as like a fresh pineapple is. And I'm pretty sure I had snacks in my carry-on and my checked luggage, and I think it was fine. But when in doubt, if something is open, toss it in your carry-on and bring it on by hand. The main time you need to obey the factory sealed rule is when you are sending your kid to the nursery. You do need the snacks to be sealed if you are leaving food for them. I ended up buying a thing of puffs at the gift shop, but I opened them before her nursery day and fed her a few, and I couldn't leave them with the nursery because of that. So just keep that in mind. Also, pack stain stick, even if you usually don't. I foolishly didn't put it together that Pearl was wearing like her cute little clothes. We weren't wearing like our home playground clothes. We were on vacation. She's wearing cute little things and she was eating in them more than she typically would. So she stained everything. There is a laundry on board, which is super convenient. We personally didn't need it because we were heading to stay at Disney World and our hotel room, as you know, had laundry in it. But pack a stain stick, even if you usually don't, just to make sure your kid's wardrobe of vacation staples is not demolished. Now, that's just little reminders. We gotta get into the bulk of stuff that you need to know, the basics. We're talking the stroller, the crib, the bottles, the cleaning, the stuff, and the reasons why traveling with a baby is stressful, but absolutely worth it. So let's talk cribs. You can put in a special request in advance to get a pack and play or a similar convertible crib in your room when you arrive. I always travel with my own pack and play, just because we travel a lot, and I just try to keep things as familiar for Pearl as possible. But you can request one in advance by going to your DCL account, going to My Reservations, selecting Special Requests, and filling out the Special Request form. It's really convenient if you use one of theirs also, because they will take it down each day so that you have space during the day, and then put it back up at night like magic. You can also request other items through them, like a diaper pail, which we had and was amazing. Our stateroom was poopy scent free the entire time. What a gift. You can also get a bottle warmer and a bottle sterilizer. Now, I do want to give a tiny little warning about the bottle sterilizer. I cannot find anything confirming this after the year 2020, but you should be able to. Like, one random post says you can get this from guest services. Yada, yada, yada. It should be there. I was not able to find any modern detail about the bottle sterilizer, but it should be available on board. But that's not the important thing. The important thing you need to know is that these items, all of these in-room items, pack and plays, diaper pail, bottle warmer, bottle sterilizer, publicly, Disney Cruise Line will say, ask your stateroom attendant or inquire upon boarding. And they oscillate between the two with this very chill vibe because none of these are guaranteed. They live in this vague first come, first served ambiguity. I assume so that if they don't have it, it's like, well, it's first come, first serve. But if you're at sea with a baby and you need something, you need it. These are limited in quantity. And my job is to make sure you get them. So what you're going to do is that you're going to request everything you can online through that special request form in your account. Then you are going to call Disney Cruise Line, especially if your trip is approaching, and emphasize those requests. When you get on board, you are going to beeline straight to guest services to check in on all of your requests for all of these items. You will be on the ship earlier than you will be in your stateroom and meet your stateroom attendant, so you want to do this first instead of waiting for check-in. That's leaving like 4 hours of other people to get the stuff you need before you. So if you do all this and you make it to your room and you still don't see what you need, then ask your stateroom attendant for anything that is either in transit and they can check up on it, or things that you might not have gotten and then figure out what the status is. Basically, if you need this stuff, you need it. You don't like kind of need a bottle warmer. You need a bottle warmer. It's first come, first served, and I want to make sure you are first come and you are first served. I still always travel with my own baby-friendly dish soap, a sponge brush, like, you know, the one on the stick, and a water basin to hold all the dirty dishware and utensils. But I also used that setup for pump parts when Pearl was under one and we had to be very careful about cleanliness. When we were in that phase, I would wash everything by hand and then sterilize all the items in a microwave sterilization bag. So if you are also used to doing that, please note there is seemingly no way to access a microwave as a guest, which is very different from a typical hotel experience. Disney Cruise Line does make accommodations for guests with special dietary requests as well as disabilities, but you have to reach out directly and it's a whole thing, so I'm not entirely sure how that process will wash out. So my recommendation is just to prioritize getting that sterilizer from the moment you get on board. And please keep in mind, Disney prohibits you from bringing your own bottle warmers or microwaves on board as well. Or sterilizers, of course. Any of that stuff, they're not going to let you bring it on. Now let's talk formula. Didn't think we'd have to talk formula, but we do. Official lingo is that guests may bring pre-packed, unopened formula on board in their carry-on. And that's it. That's it. No additional language for what happens if you, part all of your child's food in a checked luggage. Doesn't matter. I mean, no details on if you crack open the can of formula to feed your kid in the hotel in the morning before the cruise, if they will or will not take your baby's food away from you. Now, formula lives in this gray space between food and medicine. So my advice is just to be safe and bring all of it with you. Have it on your person. Because when you are boarding, I just feel like no one's going to take formula out of the hands of a parent who needs it. If you've ever dealt with airport security while transporting milk, with or without a baby, you know what I mean. It is a conversation, it is not a rule, so I feel like you're fine. But the official lingo is weirdly that it has to be sealed and has to be in your bag. But there is this weird thing about Disney Cruise Line where they're going to scrutinize and screen your checked luggage pretty intensely. So if there's anything that's open or possibly questionable, just bring it with you. Bring it with you to the port instead of checking it through. I mean, case in point, Disney says opened packages of any food is not permitted off the ship, which technically would apply to formula. Like, if you had an open can of formula, you would have to leave it behind when you disembark, which absolutely not. Nobody would do that. So again, just keep your essentials with you at all times. I had open snacks for Pearl. I had, water bottles, which we'll get to in a second. Like, I had a bunch of stuff in my bag and it was totally fine. Again, the rules are rules. This is international travel. This is a cruise. The rules are going to be very specific, but don't be freaked out. I assume you should be fine. Bring it with you. And when in doubt, carry it with you. Do not put it in your checked luggage. If it's with you, then you can talk to someone about it. You should be fine. But then again, I would maybe just bring a couple cans, which I know is so annoying to travel with, just so you are covered. If you specifically need purified bottled water for your formula, you can order a water package, which means bottled water will be in your stateroom when you arrive. I did this because your girl thirsty and always dehydrated. It was a 12-pack of the like aluminum Dasani bottles, and it was $30, but we drank all of them. It was very useful. Or you can bring bottled water that is factory sealed on board with you in a carry-on. You'd have to schlep all of it through the terminal, which is not ideal, but hey, carrying too much stuff? That's parenthood, baby. There's also a third option. Disney Cruise Line can bring distilled water to your stateroom, which can be used for bottles. I haven't seen this said explicitly by the company. They tend to recommend buying water or bringing it with you. But I actually learned this through a post from someone who needed it for their CPAP machine. So if they can bring distilled water for a kind of medical reason, there's seemingly no reason they couldn't do the same for a baby. That would be another special request situation, obviously not as pressing in advance, but just talk to your stateroom attendant and you should be totally fine. There is, of course, regular water on board if that's not an issue. The water in your stateroom is actually filtered and totally fine to drink, which surprises me every time. I always think we're playing by airplane rules. And if you want drinking water, there are beverage stations on the upper deck and water refill stations at specific locations throughout the different ships as well. As we mentioned, Disney does have restrictions on certain items you can bring on board, but they also have a little asterisk on items that you would probably think are totally okay, like baby monitors, sleep machines, and white noise machines. Apparently, they'll be inspected by the chief electrician on board and either will be approved or you won't get it back until the end of the trip. That has happened to me with the steamer, didn't know they weren't allowed, wore a wrinkled skirt to dinner because I couldn't figure out the iron setting for the skirt silk material. Hey, it happens. Hey, it happens sometimes. So just keep that in mind while packing, that that is a notation that they make. We use a portable white noise machine. We use a shusher that is battery operated. Those work totally fine. We were able to use those. I'll put links to those in the show notes because they're actually ones we use every single day of our lives and have for almost 2 years now. And we also didn't end up needing our baby monitor. I'm pretty sure We checked it through. It's the VTech audio monitor. That one plugs into the wall and we didn't need it and they didn't confiscate it. Because my mom is a human baby monitor and stayed in the room with her while she was napping. If you run out of anything, there is a store on board that has all of the essentials. Medicine, diapers, wipes, puffs, swim diapers, baby food, pouches, baby sunscreen, even a bottle brush, which I was shocked by. They really went the extra mile there. But keep in mind, the selection is limited. My philosophy is just to bring everything yourself, especially when there's any sort of international travel at play. But I also want to emphasize that because this store where they sell this stuff is not always open. When the ship is in port, like on embarkation day, it won't be open until you leave. And I'm sure that if you were in dire need and you needed diapers, someone on the ship could access it and get it for you. But that is just a hoop I don't want to jump through when I'm running out of diapers on a cruise ship. And then there are strollers. We brought one and I am so glad we did. It was the folding travel stroller I always use. I use it at the parks as well. And I found it really handy for disembarkation and embarkation days when we were just juggling other bags and things and moving through space. And we did use it on the ship at certain times, which I didn't anticipate we would do. Honestly, if you're on the fence, I am so pro stroller. On the actual ship, it wasn't as important, but basically anytime we were off the ship, it was essential. Disney Cruise Line does have strollers available for rent for the entire cruise, but they are first come, first serve. And again, I am not willing to roll the dice on that at this age. Complimentary wagons are provided at both Disney Island destinations, which is amazing. But again, they are first come, first served. And I cannot emphasize this enough, so please listen. If you are traveling with a kid who is younger, who is under 3, especially a toddler, especially a baby, which you definitely will have a stroller for, you will want your own stroller for Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. At Lookout Key, as we mentioned on the other episode, there is a walkway prior to a tram ride to reach all the activities. You can borrow a stroller or wagon for the walk from the ship to the tram, but then you leave it at the tram stop and you grab a new one once you reach Lookout Key. That is too many variables for a stressed out mom like me. My young kid can't walk that far, and I really don't think I could carry her that far, like, for over 10 minutes in the heat, especially if I'm carrying all our stuff. And if we, you know, maybe we had them on the way there and we're coming back and there just weren't any and they were all already on the ship side. So especially if you were going on a sailing to Lookout Key, if you are on the ship and you have your stroller and you're like, yeah, we'll just use a wagon. I highly recommend bringing your own just to avoid any situation where you are truly schlepping back and forth. Do note, when you are on the cruise, your stroller cannot be stored in the hallway. It has to be inside your room. I thought this would be so irritating, but we left it right at the front door and we were in our room, like up against the closet, up against the door, and we could still access both bathrooms. We totally could have folded it, but I'm extremely lazy and I believe in not folding the stroller unless I absolutely have to. And do take note as well, if you are traveling with a car seat, which takes up a lot of space in a cruise cabin, you're likely going to end up storing it in your closet. If it truly does not fit in your stateroom, you can always speak with your stateroom attendant about storing it elsewhere. But just keep in mind that's more of a special request than something that's guaranteed. Some other stuff I want to emphasize. Before you leave, make sure to make a note of all the booking dates for things like Royal Gathering and the nursery. And also, make sure you have a plan of what you need to do once you get on board. Maybe that's go to guest services to confirm a pack and play. Maybe that's go to the nursery to get a few more hours so you can squeeze in extra adult time. Just keep it in mind so you're ready to go once you get on board. On the day that you are boarding your ship, make sure you have your day bag prepped like you are going on a flight. Snacks, chargers, bottle, a couple toys, a change of clothing, baby Tylenol, diapers, wipes. You will need anything your kids will need for about 6 hours, because depending on how it shakes out, you might be in the terminal for a while. Things could get delayed. And when you board, when you're in port, the store is not open, so you can't access essentials. And you likely will not get your bags until later that day. Similarly, the last night of your sailing can actually be pretty tricky because you'll need to hand carry anything you needed for that night, including a pack and play if you brought your own, off the ship the following day. If you have Magic Band Plus, the newer updated version of a Magic Band, be sure to bring it with you. Also, wear it when you arrive to the cruise terminal and make sure it is charged. I got super confused before I left on this sailing because Disney Cruise Line keeps talking about a Disney Band Plus, which seems different from Magic Band Plus, but they are in fact the exact same thing. They just, for some reason, have different names. I have always been kind of on the fence about Magic Band Plus, but I fell in love with it on this Disney Cruise Line sailing, specifically because I could use it to open my stateroom door. And when you're carrying a toddler and bags and you got a lot going on, it was so easy to just bloop, open the door. Now, the reason I mention this is because I foolishly did not set up my mom's band before we got there. There was a moment when we checked in for the cruise where we could have gotten her set up, gotten it tied to her account, and we were like, we'll do it later. And we never did. So make sure you get everything done in advance so you can really take advantage of that band before you get on the ship. And last but not least, download the My Disney Cruise Adventure booklet. I will put a link in the show notes. Disney does not advertise this enough. It is buried at the bottom of their website. But it is a really fun and cool activity book that can prepare your kid for everything ahead. Everything about the journey, everything on the ship. It's just so nice and a way to familiarize them in a fun, playful way for what is in store. I hope this answered any questions you had about Disney Cruise Line, maybe ones you didn't have. And as you know, I like to plan a little too much, but I will tell you, I had the most unbelievable time. You all know that. You've listened to the episode, and I cannot wait to go on a cruise again with Pearl. If you ever have any questions about sailing Disney Cruise Line with a young kid, call 747 Churros, reach out now or in the future. I'm happy to help you because, again, I myself could not find these resources when I was planning a trip. I watched some videos. I checked some Reddit threads, but there really was no full-blown detailed guide. No one to warn me about berries. No one to be like, yeah, by the way, you're going to have to schlep that pack and play when you get off the ship the next day. Just so much stuff that I'm so grateful I can help you a lot on your journey with. Thank you so much for listening. Again, let me know if you have any questions, and I'll see you next week. Big news, party people. I am officially launching a long-term partnership with MEI Travel and its specialty division, Mouse Fan Travel. I'm obsessed with making sure you have the best theme park vacation possible, and so are they. Mouse Fan Travel, a division of MEI Travel, specializes in all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, all of it. And MEI Travel can help curate vacations with all major cruise lines and vacation destinations around the globe. Mouse Fan Travel is a no-fee Disney earmarked agency, which means they will handle booking your entire trip, no matter where you go. no matter what you want to do, they will help you plan it absolutely for free. For free! There really is no disadvantage to working with these expert vacation planners. Did you know they have a hotline where if something goes wrong and you're traveling, you'll have someone to call? Or that if you book a Disneyland or Disney World vacation and your room drops in price, they will get you money back? Travel agents are amazing! Disney World just announced some incredible promotions for 2025. You can save up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on select nights through April. Which means it's the perfect time to reach out to Mouse Fan Travel for a free quote on your future trip. If you want to take advantage of having a new vacation booking bestie, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing.
Hey girl, hey, this is Abby from Colorado, and I just needed to share this moment with you because I needed someone else to laugh with. I have been driving around, and I always enjoy listening to the pod while commuting, and apparently, because it's so hot outside, I still need my air conditioning in October. What? Why? Anyhow, so because my air conditioning's on, I usually bump up the volume a little bit. Nothing on Jeff. It's my own personal problems. Anyhow, so I roll up to the stoplight, and I glance over, and I see this police officer with their window down, arm hanging out, and I just kind of glance over. I start going back to you, focusing on the light that I am stopped at, but then we make eye contact. He's looking at me like I'm the crazy one for having my volume bumping in this heat. Good sir. So I gave a nice little smile, and I waved, and he was shocked and barely moved his hand to wave back at me. But regardless, I thought it was hilarious that he looked over trying to figure out what I was listening to. And here I am, this adorable Disney adult, just vibing with my own Disney people, listening to the pod. But, you know, he has no idea what I was listening to, but that the bass was bumping because my AC was riding high. Anyhow, I hope you got as much enjoyment out of that interaction as I did. Love listening to the pod. Thank you so much. Have a magical, fabulous day. Bye.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, I had to play this call this week, even though I definitely got calls about questions about trips, but I had to address this one first because, oh my God, this is like a long time fear of mine. A long time fear of mine is that I'm going to be listening to something that is going to get me in trouble or put me in a very awkward situation because I, for the most part, also sorry if you heard a weird mouth noise there. I made these homemade protein bars and I put way too much protein powder in them and it now my mouth is filled with it. Anyway, okay, so I live in LA, duh, which you know, but I listen to two podcasts. One, well, I really listen to one. I really mostly listen to Who Weekly. It is like a celebrity adjacent podcast, but I just listen to them because on their Patreon, they're like, I do it through Apple, so it's not even a Patreon. They talk about movies that they saw, and I don't like going to movies. I just love when Bobby and Lindsay tell me what happens in a movie, which is fantastic, because now I know everything about so many movies that I wasn't going to see, and I'm clued in, which is lovely. Anyway, this is a very roundabout way of saying that my greatest fear is that I'm going to listen to their podcast where they're talking about a celebrity or a television show or a movie, and I'm going to be in LA with my windows down and pull up next to someone who can hear it, and it's going to be mortifying. And you basically had a version of that happen to you. I can't believe that could actually happen. I now need to be fully windows up or just play music with the windows down. I'm going to be thinking about this truly every time I get in my car, because the other thing is that I was listening to, if you're familiar with Las Culturistas, which is kind of the other podcast I mostly listen to, I don't listen to too much Disney stuff just because then I'm in work. My brain is in work mode if I listen to Disney. Otherwise, I need to listen to like culture, lifestyle, stuff like that. And Las Culturistas did this thing where they did like, I think it was called the Iconic 400. They were talking about things and actors and people. And the same thing. I had like my windows rolled down in traffic and they're saying some stuff. Let's just put it that. Not, it's not always like salacious, but they're saying stuff. And I was like, oh no, and had to roll my windows up so that and people weren't like, what are you doing in that car? Also, the opposite version of this is that I was once driving and I heard someone else listening to podcast The Ride, which was very fun. And I told the boys and they were thrilled about it. But yeah, I appreciate this call. I can't believe this happened to you. This is so funny to me. And this just reinforces that, like, this fear that, yeah, like you're in when you're in your car or like you're somewhere in public, maybe on the subway, on the train, listening to a podcast in your headphones. Like a lot of times the podcasts that you're drawn to are like the community that you are a part of. And like the fact that our little, like you said, this little Disney adult community happening in your car, it like leaked out of your window into someone else's world is so funny to me. I'm so glad it ended up okay. I so appreciate you listening to the podcast on full volume, and you deserve to be whatever temperature you want. Don't let any weird looks from anyone pulling up, cop or not, tell you how to be. Thank you for listening. Thank you for this call. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Now I really, listen, if they're talking about a movie, I don't know. The people who made the movie can be in the car next to me. I gotta be careful. I gotta be careful, and I have you to thank for that. Thank you so much for calling. That's our show! Voice crack there. Oh boy. Thank you all so much for listening. If I followed the notes and instructions that I've left for future me, there will be links to the products I mentioned in this episode, so you can click on them and check those out. I really hope I remember to do that, otherwise it's going to be really embarrassing. But anyway, thank you for listening to this episode about cruising with your baby and toddler. You can rate, review, and follow Vera Musing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. Again, it's always appreciated. Just real click. Boop. I mean, I will take 5 stars any day of the week. So thank you in advance, and a very special thank you to everyone who's already done it. Who the people who listen to this every week have already rated and reviewed, have already done it, and they just have to listen to my plea over and over. I appreciate you. Even though your glory is gone, you reviewed it a while ago, I appreciate you. And I thank you. You can always update it and be like, P.S. I still love it. I think you can do that. Anyway, something I know you can do is that you can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Send us a voice note or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. We will take your calls, your questions, your concerns, your comments, your rants about theme parks. I'm here for you, and I want to hear what you got to say. You can pick up Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Wiesel throughout the internet. Join the Family, the coolest internet community online, I think. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I think everyone there is just the best. You can join it at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. Also, for my Family, I just bought, I'm going to like back to being obsessed with foam, like everything's full circle. And I just bought cocoa powder because I guess if you put cocoa powder in the Vitamix Air with skim milk, that makes more of like a mocha-y foam than any chocolate syrup. I'm gonna test it out this week. I'll let you know how it goes. But I'm very excited. I just got that. So I'm thrilled. I'm just thinking about it. I'm very excited about it. You can subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel, 99 cents a month. I promise you 99 cents worth of shenanigans. It's a good time, and I love posting over there. I post over there a lot, and it's been real nice. This episode was edited gleefully by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I'm going to talk real fast because you cut me off last week, so this is it. I'm going real fast. Okay. The book, Bringing Home Disney Magic Inside Your Home by Sunny Chanel, is first of all, her name is the greatest name I've ever heard. It's wonderful. But I met Sunny years ago and immediately loved her. We have kept in touch over the years, and she is the sweetest. And yes, I was babysitting Pearl because you were at D23 as you decided to surprise me and took me to D23. And I told Sunny, if I get to go, I'll come by your book signing, and the stars aligned. I got to see her. There was about 200 people in line, and they wouldn't let me in. So then I asked, she's my friend, can I just run up to her and give her a hug? And they said yes, so I got to wish her well. It was wonderful. Sunny's parents' basement has everything, Anything you could ever want is there, like posters signed, albums, first run t-shirts of Rockstar. I mean, they have everything. It's amazing. So when you have to clean out my hoarding basement one day, keep that in mind. Maybe you can use these things in fun ways instead of being angry with me. Okay. The book is so much fun, great information, wonderful stories, and the pictures are so, so great that I'm thinking about my next project. And yes, this great book is on my coffee table because it is amazing. And it's going to be sold at the parks. I can't wait. I'm going to take a picture with the book. I'm so excited for Sunny. Sunny, my friend, I love you. I am so proud of you. I love you, Carly, and I love you, Pearl. No jam today. Love you. Bye.